It's Tuesday, October 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. And yes, it is October. It is not August. You may have heard me make that mistake on the last show, so I grant you, it is October 25th. All right, everyone, I got a great show tonight. Got a lot of hot content. You're going to really want to tune in and listen to this one. So strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. I am your host, Todd Cochran. And as always, we want to thank all of our long-term subscribers for staying subscribed and keep tuning in and downloading the show every week. And of course, if you're a new listener, we want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. Make sure that you check out all the archive podcasts and of course, subscribe to our mailing list. So how is everyone? I know that I'm doing great. I hope that you are too. And you know, I got about 20 emails from y'all saying, hey, you kind of confused me on the last show because you said August 21st instead of October 25th, and I got my little piece of paper here that I actually had last week, and I actually wrote down on the paper, for some odd reason, my brain was, what happens when your brain does that, a little brain fart, but anyway, it was October, not August, so anyway, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots of great commentary that I'm going to pass down to you. Found a lot of great sites and some stuff that kind of like, oh, this is going to make for some good conversation. So look forward to bringing you all that info. Hey, we're still on track. Everything's a go for Podcast Expo. Can't wait to get over to Ontario, California for that event here in November. It's going to be a great time. Everything is finally finished. I have everything done for the podcast award, so we're all set up and good to go. And additionally, we are very, very close for launching the Podcaster News Network over at podcasternews.com. And I look forward to bringing that site to you here in a few weeks. We are getting ready to do our pre-walkthrough of all those people that basically said, hey, I want to take a look at the site beforehand. We've been adding podcasters over the last couple of days, too. People are getting excited about the launch and want to know more info. So we're about ready to stop. Basically, no more podcasters after Wednesday and until we launch, and then we'll open those doors back up. But Thursday is going to be the cutoff for any podcaster that wants to become involved. And we've got some potential marketing people, potential advertising executives, and even some people that are going to be our content managers. They're going to be attending a closed-door meeting on Thursday. So look forward to having that meeting with those folks and laying out our game plan for the launch. And, of course, you guys have an inside scoop to what's going on by listening to this show. And you got more information than a lot of people do. So we're pretty excited about what's going on. And I'm sure you will be, too. Hey, I've got a lot of content to go through tonight, so we're going to kick off and get going real early here tonight. I do want to put a word in for our sponsor. Did you know you can build a website in minutes at GoDaddy.com? You can with Website Tonight. Just pick a website template and add your own text and graphics. That's it. Each Website Tonight account includes secure hosting, a free email account, and much more. It's a complete solution to create your very own website. And as a special offer for my listeners, you can take an additional $5 off any order of $30 or more if you enter the code GEEK4. That's GEEK and the number 4 when you check out. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor. I did get an email from one person that was signed up for our GoDaddy domain and hosting account and was kind of confused on why GoDaddy didn't really have any podcasting templates or anything set up. just for everyone's information, and this is GoDaddy sells domain names, they sell web hosting accounts, they sell virtual dedicated servers and dedicated servers. After you get those website accounts, it's just like this nationwide. There's only a few services that provide, you know, podcasting capability from the get-go. You have to install your own blog software and all that. That, you know, that doesn't come pre-built into a web hosting account. So just keep that in mind. And if you need some help, obviously you'll want to pick up my book, Podcasting the Do-It-Yourself Guide. It gives you the resources on how to set up a blog, etc., for getting ready to go and get started podcasting. Now, I do have, later in the show, we're going to talk about a couple of reviews of the book. They were terrific, and the book continues to sell well, so I'm really, really happy about that, obviously. As usual, you all keep flooding my inbox with questions and commentary on the show. I got an email from Tom, and he's got a podcasting question that goes, it's a pretty big question. So, Tom, I'm going to be answering this on the link blog, okay? So if you, when you get over to geeknewscentral.com, click on link blog, and you'll see the answer that I'll put up in there. It will be within the next couple of days. It's pretty. It's going to require me to do a little bit of research and to put that information out. So once that's up, and it's about podcasting and using the Mac, integrating some software, and how to be able to mix things in correctly. So I'll get an answer for you there that will should be suitable for what you need to know. This leads to another question that I received from Robert on BitTorrent. He says, I listen to your podcasts and find them interesting, and he agrees that BitTorrent is a potential and real solution to bandwidth upload issues, where it allows each of you to share our connections in a way that is mutually beneficial. And he would like a general explanation of how this works, and it may be of interest to the listeners. Now, Robert, I agree that many people really don't understand how BitTorrent works. It's been the goal of us in some of the roundtables we've done over at techpodcast.com to demystify BitTorrent. So what I'll do is I'll get a series of links put together, and I'll put them up in the link blog. This is just too long of a subject to cover. I could do a whole show on BitTorrent alone. What I'll do is I'll get a series of links up on the site that talks about BitTorrent, how you set up your router, what you would have to do to your firewall. You know, some routers do not some routers play well with BitTorrent, some don't, some need to be tweaked, sometimes you have to make a change to a firewall. There are some basic things that the general user may have to overcome to use it. So I know there is a little bit of geekiness to this, so I will put some detailed information on the link blog. Thanks for the question, and we'll get the comment up there in short order, or get the question answered in short order. Now, I got an email from Mark. Mark has got some real major issues with spyware on his computer. And Mark, the main thing I want to tell you right off the bat, number one, if you've just installed Windows on your machine and you don't have it loaded up with too much stuff, I think the best thing for you to do in the situation you're in right now is to start over, start from scratch, and reload your computer. You know, you can go through, and you said you've already used two or three different spyware programs to try to eliminate all the issues that you have, and you have not been able to do it. Stuff still keeps coming back. So first of all, I guess I would ask you, number one, do you have the Windows firewall turned on? Number two, if you don't have the Windows firewall turned on and you're using another firewall, what is that firewall that you're using? What is the antivirus software that you're using, which it looks like you said you're using Norton and it's finding all kinds of stuff? You're using Adware and SpyBot that has found some of these things. Mark, I'm going to put some links up to some more tools in the show notes, or actually probably in the link blog again, that allow you to maybe try some additional applications, try to remove this stuff that's on there. But if you've got an infestation that's so bad that it's causing pop-ups on Firefox, this is you've got a huge problem. And sometimes it's just better to start over and slick the machine and do that. Disconnected from the internet, you know, just disconnect from the internet, start over, reload the machine. Hopefully you have your machine ghost, or you have the default disk that came with the computer, and you can get back up and running relatively quickly. You know, that's kind of the critical or the extreme way to get rid of this stuff. But if you're infested as bad as I think you are, and your computer may even be owned. In other words, if you haven't had a good firewall in there, you haven't run a firewall, What's very well likely is that your machine has been taken over and people are controlling it. So you really have to get in deep to get this stuff dug out. But put some additional resources for you in the show notes or in the link blog where you can go to download some software to try to eradicate this stuff before you have to completely basically strip the machine down to parade rest and start over. I did get a comment from Ralph where we talked about some of the oldest domain names. And yet, Ralph, Microsoft did not have a domain name in those early days. Kind of interesting, isn't it? So also from a message from Jack, and he said this is a great site that could come in handy for great stock photos of the world. Most of these you don't see on the news sites. And he gives me a link to a site that you can get stock different. You know, if you guys are looking for photos for your weblogs or for projects that you're using, looks like a pretty good site. I'll put a link up to this site in the show notes. It's Aurora, A-U-R-O-R-A, photos.com. As you all know, I've truly fell in love with GoToMeeting. I'm using this application almost on a daily basis. And a lot of the things that we're doing with it are pretty amazing to people that have not seen the application before. You know, I like being able to be sharing an application and we're talking about something, be able to highlight an area of text or something or point out a certain area with a pointer, and we both can surf around and talk about different sites. And it's pretty cool. So I really recommend, if you haven't tried this, if you're a business that is trying to save some money on travel, this might be a great way to do that. It's an application that once you've used it a few times, you're going to say, oh man, how did I live without this before? Especially if you're a small business and they're trying to, you know, basically save money. And as you know, we've been techpodcast.com has been sponsored by GoToMeeting. We've been doing some live roundtables on that, and we'll have another one here for you soon. So, but just to give you a little more detailed information and how you can get a free trial, check this out. Hey folks, you've got to check out GoToMeeting. Why? Because you can hold meetings right over the net from anywhere. Plus, you can hold all the meetings you want for one flat rate. Try it free for 30 days. No, you don't need a credit card to get started. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable. That's gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable to get your free trial now. And if you visit the Geek News Central website, there's a link to GoToMeeting via the website. Just click on that, go over there and get your free trial, and no credit card required. Okay, folks, I got a pile of great content tonight, and we're going to start right off in discussing an article that I found on Mark Cuban's weblog, Blog Maverick. And he has posted a post that says, Google responds on Blogspot and IceRocket.com continues to grow. And I got a nice email the other day from the IceRocket.com CEO. It was real positive email. I do appreciate that from them. And he basically thanking us for talking about the website and also being a user of IceRocket. If you haven't used IceRocket, make sure you get over to IceRocket.com and check out the search engine they've got over there, the blog search engine. It's actually more than a blog search engine. But Mark talks about in this post today that Google is basically have very quickly over at Blogspot if it went in and trying to shut down all these spammers that are setting up these thousands of websites and causing all this hate and discontent on the internet. And this goes in relation to an article I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. Over the past week, Google has added CAPTCHA codes to any Blogspot blog. So in order to make a post or to sign up, you have to enter those, you know, those texts that's in a little box. Now, I know that the vision impaired hate these boxes, and it really makes it tough for them to utilize the website. But I think that Blogspot had their back up against the wall, but hopefully, you know, and Google had their back up against the wall, and they had to do something. Now, what I'm hoping is that for the vision impaired, what they do is they somehow give people a way to verify their existence, either provide them a credit card information or a driver's license number, something to verify that they're a human, okay, and not a computer that are setting up these sites. And there's Chris Prillo has a link on his website today that we'll have up in the show notes. It actually shows a website that has got this software that's being used by these spammers to set up all these websites. And what we're finding out is, and this is kind of in relation to an article I had on my website today, but is also talked about on some other websites, is that something is rotten with AdSense. And this goes right back to the Blogspot blogs. What we're finding out is that these spammers are setting up, let's say, 100 blogs, okay? Then they automatically subscribe to AdSense. They get AdSense ads put on the websites. Then what they do is they use these tools to go out and suck or steal data from other people's blogs and put them in the actual blogs themselves to basically automate the creation of a blog, a fake blog. So they've got content in there. And sometimes you have to look at the content real close to make sure that it's, to even tell that it's a computer generated, because what is happening is that they're stealing real blog content from other bloggers and putting those posts in place. And not only that, they're pointing back to the original post. So they're building page rank, and then they're either buying or they're setting up these bots, where the bots go out and will go back to the sites and click on the Google AdSense ads that they've set up. So it's this vicious cycle. They set up 1,000 blogs. They put 1,000 posts in them. They get these great Google ads because they've got all this content that looks real. And then they use bots to click on those ads to build revenue. So this is where this article on Joel on Software over at joelonsoftware.com, he talks about something is rotten in AdSense, where you have sites like mine that create, or we have original content that we put in the site every day. And I even got a buddy that's at techpodcast.com who had his Google AdSense account shut down because Google accused him of click fraud. And he's like, I had the account for 11 months. I was just getting ready to get my first check, and Google only sends a check when you hit $100. He says, they shut me down. They said there was click fraud going on with my account. He said, I've never clicked on the links. And he's a straight up guy. He would tell me the truth. So I asked, I said, did you ever click on the link? He said, no, I never did. But Google accused him of click fraud and shut his AdSense account down and took his money. You know, he didn't get any money. So they're shutting down legitimate sites. But at the same time, they've got this proliferation of trouble, primarily on Blogspot. So this, with this CAPTCHA stuff that's being implemented, hopefully that will slow it down. But you know what they're doing there? They've hired people in third world countries to go through and, you know, enter those codes manually, because there's such a big payout. So, good discussion on Mark on in what they've done, their first attempt to try to shut some of this down. Some more information from Joel on his website talking about, you know, what's driving this. And of course, there's a post on my site on what I think. And I'm calling it, in my opinion, it's fraud. You know, I actually pay for ads, Google ads, to be placed in search engine results. And I do stuff for my podcasting book. When someone search podcast book, it's got a link to amazon.com/podcasting to try to drive more sales to the book. So I do certain things to basically drive traffic to my website and drive traffic to stuff I'm involved with. So I pay for ads on Google. And I don't spend that much. I set a limit every month on how much I spend. I think it's under $25 is what I spend on Google. And it doesn't get me very many click-throughs, but it does enough that it drives us some new traffic to the site, etc. But what if, you know, someone starts clicking on my ads just to collect the revenues? You know, I'm not getting any value out of that. So that's the threat that's going to happen to anyone that's advertising with Google. So enough on that. But two great articles here. Now, third phase of this today, and this is really, really sad, is that some months ago, Google launched an application called the Web Accelerator. And the entire internet exploded about the ramifications of what the Web Accelerator done or could do. And Google took a step back. Now, it was evil the first time, their incarnation of this application. But this time it's even worse, because we were able to put some code in our pages that basically rendered the web accelerator useless. But now, it's not possible to render it useless in this version. So, for those of you that have used the Google Web Accelerator, you'll know that what it will do is we'll put it'll highlight text in a website. So you go to my site, and certain words within our articles will be highlighted. Will either, and that's Google putting the highlighting in there with a URL link to something else, either to an ad or other content. So basically, they're collecting revenue off of my content that I don't get a cent for. But they are actually putting links or hyperlinking into my content with this web accelerator. Okay, this is huge. This is a huge no-no. And the site was only up a short time this morning where people could download it. And it there was an update on the site that said, "Thank you for your interest in Google Web Accelerator. We have currently reached our maximum capacity of users and are actively working to increase the number of users we can support." Well, I hope they don't put any more people on this thing. Okay, so there's a lot of history here on this. We've talked about this before in some earlier shows in the year. So go ahead and check this out. It's over at 37signals.com. But I've pretty much given you a synopsis of the article already. But bad Google, okay? Bad Google. For those of you that are listening down in Australia, I know you're all pretty happy today. Apple has launched the iTunes Music Store down there. And everyone's pretty happy. I got an email last night on it from one of our listeners saying, "Finally, our prayers are answered. The Google iTunes is a store is open for business in Australia." So for you all, you're good to go, and you're able to get music from Apple that way. And I found a cool article about some things that some people are making some integrations into Apple iTunes that Apple may not like, but I'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Okay, for those of you that are Firefox users, they are about going into code freeze, and they've only got a couple of bugs to work out, so we should see pretty stable vision, or stable version of Firefox version 1.5. It's going to be release candidate 1 is going to be coming out. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and be looking forward to that. Now, how many of you have heard about the leaked screener DVDs that make it on the internet? Well, what happens is the Oscars, the people that do put on the Oscar awards, send out DVDs to screeners of these shows or these movies and whatever else they're giving awards out for. And many times these DVDs are found being ripped and being found put up on a website or these movies and pieces from those DVDs. So what they've done is they're creating a private line of DVD players that will be encoded in a way that the DVDs they send out to the screeners, those DVDs will only play in those screening machines. So these are the lengths that the music industry is going to protect the content. Now, cough, I'm sure none of those DVDs will leak onto the internet this year. We'll just see. We'll see if all this work is or not. But think about it. They're shipping out 12,000 of the ultra-secure players to all of the Academy members that will be screening this year's movie. So, what do you bet all those movies end up on the internet anyway? So, just goes to show you what they're doing out there. Okay, some very amazing article in Business Week that talks about the Korean cellular carrier called SK Telecom that introduced a service called Find Friends, and this was done in 2000. Imagine, okay, for those of you that are married, or those of you that are single with girlfriends, or those of you with kids, imagine you having a service where you can take your cell phone and ping your mate or your spouse or your kids and find out exactly where they are and pay a relatively small fee, 29 cents a day or something like that for the service, where you could track anybody anytime. It's an opt-in service. Now, there's some services in the United States that offer, you give your kids a cell phone, and the cell phone can call home and tell mom and dad where the kids are at. My thought process is on that. If you don't know where your kids are at and you can't control them, then maybe you better do a better job parenting. Okay, because I'll probably get some hate mail back on that one. But they're using technology in Korea to, you know, basically track people. Girlfriends keeping track of their boyfriends, making sure they're not out carousing around. But I don't think this would go over too well here in the United States. And, of course, this has been tried by a couple of the networks, some opt-in things. And it's big in Japan where people are walking by stores and it says, oh, there's a sale going on in the store you're walking by with such and such item. So the technology could be good in certain retrospects because where I think it would be cool, and I'm giving away one of my ideas here, is if you were let's say you signed up for a service that was involving tours and you're touring the country, and let's say you're going to a state and you don't know too much about that state, but as you're driving around, your cell phone messages and says, hey, you are 2 miles from a historic site such and such, turn right here, and for 99 cents you can listen to a professional historian or someone that knows about the subject give you a 3-minute rendition of the site that you're going to go visit. I think that would be kind of cool, but do you really want your wives, you know, you ever go to the bar and the wife calls the bar looking for you? Is John here? I'm not here. Okay, I'm just using that as an example. Well, sometimes, you know, we don't have to be connected 24/7, okay? We really, really don't. You know, if someone wants to get a hold of me that bad, they'll come find me, all right? They know where I go, where I hang out, but I just don't fit Americans. I don't think we're going to buy into that too much. But the Koreans have in a big, big, big way. But what the worry is where your employer gives you a cell phone and says, I'm going to be checking up on where you are, especially if you're a, you know, freelance worker, you're working out of your home, supposed to be home working, and he finds out you're at the grocery store and you get fired. Not cool. So we have to keep an eye out for this technology to, number one, protect our identity. Number two, not let employers use this to their advantage. And number three, of course, they're probably going to force it on us. And, you know, there are some privacy issues there. So we'll stop at that. Okay, I need to have you all take a drink of coffee or your soda or whatever you are. Make sure you have an ice pack around to keep cooled off after I go over this next article. Okay, there's a Steve Gilmore has had a basically guest posting on his blog over at ZDNet. And it involves a conversation that he and a gentleman by the name of Stephen Hill had. And the title of this is, Do Public Broadcasters Get It? Stephen basically makes the argument, and he's been producing professional audio since 1983. He's got streaming audio on the internet, and he understands that, you know, when streaming came on board and people were able to get this content, if they were expatriates of a radio station or few subscriptions, people were listening online. And he understood we all understand the importance that streaming had early on. But he goes down to, there's a great discussion here, and it's basically Steve Gilmore and him kind of butted heads a little bit in that Steve is basically saying that, hey, podcasting is a new medium. It's a medium that may not be completely refined. The shows may not be professionally produced by a studio, but that it's the message that counts, and it's the rawness and the uncensored and being able for people like me to tell you what I think, okay? Now, this professional broadcaster goes on to say, it's an arguable point for users in the heady days of realizing you are finally being programmed to, but in the medium to long run, I don't believe that even niche audiences will sit for extended doses of amateurish, inconsistent, self-indulgent programming, no matter how vertically compelling the subject matter. For niche program to attract new audiences, hold them over time, they will have to bear at least reasonable comparisons to production standards of mainstream media. Please. The arguments this guy had up to this point, I was there, okay? I was reading through, I said, yeah, some of this makes sense, some of it doesn't. Yeah, whatever's good. But he just lost me in that paragraph right there, and you have to go through and read this full article, the full context of this thing, and to fully get, he just doesn't, I don't know if Steve made the title of this, where it says, do public broadcasters get it? Do they get it? Now, this was posted by Steve, but written by Stephen Hill. And you can visit Stephen's website at www.hos.com. What I would really like on this one, I really want you guys, all that are listening to the show, to go read this commentary, podcaster, listener, whatever, and let me know what you think about the comments in this. Do podcasts have to become more professional? Do we have to kick it up a notch and make it sound like it come from a studio in Hollywood? We'll let you guys add your two cents to this long tail discussion. I think it's an important one, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. But one thing, it is true in this commentary, and what's kind of funny at the end, he says, 2005 will be remembered as the year the lid finally came off media distribution. Personally, I look forward to discovering the unique talents that will emerge from podcasting. I just want to see the standards kept up. Well, guess what? Podcasting's podcasting. I record live to hard drive. I'm not going back and editing. If I say, whatever, and I make a mistake, it's staying in. All right, Steven? Don't have time. Don't have time, my friend. So, you guys tell me what you think, okay? All right, let's move on. You guys heard about iWalkman? Probably not. It's something new. How many of you have Sony Ericsson Walkman handsets? How would you like to put your iTunes music on the handset? There's an application called iWalkman that will allow you to do that. Now, it's a free software package. It allows you to sync music and video stored in iTunes with your Sony Ericsson Walkman range of handsets. It's also compatible with other music players that is accessible as a mass storage device. Okay? It even converts tracks from MPEG to AAC. So this will be a good one for you to check out, all right? All right. How many of you remember a year or maybe two? It's probably been longer than that. Maybe 3 years ago, VeriSign launched a service called SiteFinder. And what it would basically do is if you typed in www.google.com and you mistyped the domain name and hit enter, instead of giving you a 404 error that the site couldn't be found, it would give you a send you to this site called SiteFinder that was run by VeriSign. Well, they had gotten a big fight with the ICANN, and the internet bodies basically settled with them, and we could see in the near future, we could see SiteFinder make a reemergence. But they're going to open up commentary to the community. But I think this was a bad thing. There was some legal fees that were paid by VeriSign to make sure this was put to bed, and they worked it all out in a new contract agreement. But I'm sure this will raise the eyebrows of many internet service providers and companies that have a stake in what happens with search on the internet. Okay? Okay, we all know that Yahoo is continuing to intensify their quest for more material, unique material. They're creating their own. They're hiring bloggers. They're hiring individuals to create unique content. That is going to what they're terming an adventurous term. They've actually hired a guy that is climbing some mountains, and he's going to be writing about that and providing some videos exclusive to Yahoo. So as Yahoo continues down the path here, it looks like they're going to become more of a media company, moving more into a news and commentary site. So we'll see how Yahoo fares on all this. Now, here's a thought for you. Tomorrow you get a new DSL account by one of the major broadband providers, be it your local phone company or even a internet service provider, and you start to use Skype, and let's say Skype doesn't work. It's patchy. You're getting cutouts. And you call your network provider and say, hey, I'm trying to use Skype. How come it won't work? And your network provider says, oh, well, that requires a higher tier of service. You have to pay for that add-on in order for voice IP to work since you're not using our voice IP. Now, what would you do? Would you freak out? Would you get mad? Would you file a complaint with the FCC? What would you do? Okay. Well, there's a company out there that has created some software. It's called, their company's called Naris. And this application basically, it's illegal for companies to block services completely. But what isn't legal is there's nothing that keeps a carrier from the, in the United States from inducing jitter so that the quality of the conversation isn't as good. So we'll have to keep an eye on this, but as people start canceling more of their landlines and continue to move over to broadband as their primary communications method and not bypass the phone companies completely, you're going to start seeing them looking at these models and how they can recover some of their fees. You know, and even in some countries are using this technology, primarily Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Germany. They are blocking voice IP calls from tradition, so that people have to use the traditional phone networks. So obviously, they're state-controlled phone systems, and they don't want anyone else getting a piece of that pie because it's part of their tax base. But I don't think we're going to put up for this in the United States. But I can see them trying to charge for premium services. And it goes basically into some other conversation we're going to have here on the show tonight. We're at 36 minutes. This one's going to run long, folks, if you haven't noticed already on your iPod or on your MP3 player. Okay, are you guys ready for a 20-inch laptop? You know, I've got a big 17-inch laptop sitting here on my desk. And, you know, I primarily do it because it's my primary computer. I travel with it. It goes with me to work. And I want a big screen. Plus, I'm old and I hate those, getting older and I hate those little screens. But a 20-inch laptop, I already had a hard enough time finding a 17-inch laptop bag, for this thing that was decent. Now they're going to come out with a 20-inch. Whew, huge, but they're coming. People are saying that they're going to be buying them, so we'll see. Now, with energy cost up, and all of you looking at your heating bill, this, of course, here in Hawaii, we really have a problem with heating, right? High heating bill every year. So those of you who live in the States where it's getting cold, I'm sure you're dreading having to pay the price for oil, or depending on if your electricity or natural gas, those prices are going to be up this winter. So how many of you are going to be turning your computers off at night? In an article over on TechDirt, they basically are saying with energy costs heading continuous upwards, in Japan, Fujitsu is suggesting that companies should tell their employees to turn their PCs off at night. I'm old school. I got computers that run 24/7. I shut the monitors down. I put the monitors in their energy saving mode where they actually go to sleep real quick. And I have the computers where the hard drives will spin down relatively quickly too. But how many of you are going to shut your computers off? How many of you do? I don't believe in it. I think they should run continuously. And some of you are on the opposite side of the fence. So I think I'm going to have to run a survey or something to find out how many of you do that. But, you know, if energy prices continue to climb and my electricity bill continues to go up, I may have to start shutting some computers down. It'll be the first time in, 12 years I've had computers shut down at night. It just rubs me wrong to do that. But maybe I will. We'll see. Okay, for those of you that are anti-Microsoft, you guys can check out OpenOffice.org. The final version is available for download. And if you want to experiment with BitTorrent, here's a chance. You can get the download the package via a BitTorrent that's available. So OpenOffice.org 2.0 is on the street and available. So here is a free package for you, for those of you that aren't stuck completely on Microsoft Word, okay? Okay, how many of you heard that this Hubble is actually looking at the moon? They're using it to survey the moon to locate oxygen and minerals that are going to be able to help some of the missions that they've got planned to go to the moon later to sustain life and supposedly set up colonies on the moon, if that ever really happens. But they're doing some surveying with the Hubble telescope. So I'm sure we're going to get to see some nice, new, cool pictures of the moon that we haven't seen before. I'm yawning, I'm sorry. So check this out over at spacetoday.net. All right, I want to say a big thanks to gal that does a podcast over at podfeet.com. She wrote a great review on my book, Podcasting the Do-It-Yourself Guide. I want to thank you so very much for the nice review. It is absolutely appreciated, and I'm glad you got a lot out of it. And hey, if you get a chance, go over and drop that review on Amazon. That would be totally awesome. Along with that, I had another review over on a website that was called Teo Security at blogspot.com. And he hasn't read it yet. He's going to read it, so we're looking forward to the review that's going to come from that individual. So we'll keep our eye peeled on that. I found a website tonight called the Pod Squad, P-O-D-S-Q-O-D. So it's a pretty good commentary on there, although I don't agree with the review of the Marantz PMD660. I don't think that's a very good portable recorder because the amplifiers in it are terrible. But he does go into talking about how it needs to be married up with a good microphone. But he's got a lot of other great content on here on some stuff that you can check out if you are a podcaster, some equipment reviews. And I hadn't found this website tonight. Broke my horizon because they have a link to Geek News Central on their website. So I'll do a little reciprocatory call back to them there. So check out podsquad.com. And that isn't Curry Squad. That's some other squad. Okay, there's a great article on PCMag.com by John Dvorak. Talks about the Microsoft Protection Racket. He's basically calling Microsoft out, saying, hey, you guys aren't going to be able to fix your operating system. It's still going to be susceptible to getting spyware exploits. As we all know, we've got a listener that has got some major infestation with his computer right now. And John goes on to talk about some of the dirty play he thinks that's going on, dirty pool here, and with some of the things that Microsoft should do. And he's got a link to a couple of tools that he uses. One of them is Prevx, P-R-E-V-X.com. I'm not familiar with this, but it's a host intrusion protection system. And he uses one or two other anti-spyware packages to keep his stuff at bay. But he does mention that recently he was running QDFTP, left it open all night, and in the morning his system was loaded with a spyware application. I quit using QDFTP a number of years ago because I had some issues with it, and I wonder if this is related to those issues. But anyway, he goes into talking about all these things that Microsoft should and shouldn't do, and how they're, people are having to pay extra money for new products and stuff to protect themselves. He says that needs to come to an end. But what is kind of comical, and all of you that are Mac users, you'll get a laugh out of this. He says it's got four different versions here. Vista, won't boot edition, $29.95. Vista, preloaded with viruses and spyware, $39.95. Vista, initially clean but use at your own risk edition, $49.95. Vista, clean with firewall and weekly production update edition, $200. So this is funny. So you guys go over and he calls them on the carpet here. So we all have to admit that there are some spyware issues with PCs. Windows has an optional update out right now for an application called Windows Media Connect. This is a cool application, okay? It works with services like Napster, MSN Music, FYE, and Yahoo Music in your Windows Media Player. What this does is it allows you to stream, or actually it connects with other digital media receivers such as the Roku Soundbridge, the D-Link Media Lounge, or Xbox 360, yes, Xbox 360, to play stream music, photos, and videos on a plain old Windows XP box, okay? Check that out. So if you got a Windows X, if you're just running Windows XP, go out and check out Windows Connect 2.0. It's available on, I have the link up to this article. And a great way to kind of a media centerize your regular XP edition of Windows, all right? Now, Doug Kay, man, I tell you what, he's got an article up on his website that shows a picture of his gear. His podcasting is actually his audio recording gear. I am geeked out in geek heaven. This man has an amazing amount of equipment. You'll want to check this link out. He put it up on the 23rd. It says, a look inside Studio 2, and he quite literally has two racks of gear. I'm just drooling with all the cool stuff he's got there. Now, a couple of those pieces of equipment I've got sitting here in on my arbitrary rack, I guess, but he goes off the deep end. He's got an oscilloscope on there and even a SIGGEN in order to to check everything. So right on, Doug. Totally awesome. You'll not want to miss this article if you're a podcaster, okay? Okay, how many of you have kids that are in Catholic school? How would you like to have the Catholic school principal say that all the kids in school are not allowed to have weblogs? And if they do, and they're found, they'll be expelled from school. Yep, this is happening in California. And apparently there is some precedence for this. But I can't imagine my daughter coming home and saying, "Dad, the principal says we have to take our blogs down." Now, I monitor what my daughter does on her blog, and nothing links back to her. And then there's everything I can control and watch. But for some school official to say that they have to take their blogs down, I think this is out of line. So reaching too far into the home, doing what we do privately, is takes away my right as a parent. Not good. I don't care what, you know, I don't care what they say. This is wrong. Okay. Okay, Chris Perillo. Oh, we already talked about this a little bit. Chris had a link to that naughty application that is causing all the issues, or some of the issues, within Blogspot. I'll have this up in the show notes. Hey, good friend Nick Bradbury, who is working on FeedDemon. He is talking about the OPML features in FeedDemon 1.6. Right on. Two thumbs up on what you're doing there, Nick. Great implementation. Look forward to playing with this. And didn't even realize that you had already built this in. And I'm going to mess around with it a little bit tonight after the show. So cool integration. And look forward to experimenting with this. So those of you that FeedDemon users, make sure you check out the article that's up here for Nick Bradbury. All right, 46 minutes, folks. I have absolutely run out of articles. So actually, I didn't take it too long. We're a little long, but by the time I get done playing the promos, we'll probably be real long. But as always, I want to thank you for staying subscribed and being a part of the show here, being part of our Ohana, being part of our family. And you can always reach me at geeknews@gmail.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. Or you can call our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. We actually had some people call the voicemail hotline this time around, but they're both of those voicemails, or actually all three of the voicemails, are kind of a plug for the podcasting book. Some people sent me some commentary on that. And we already discussed one of the issues one of the guys had with GoDaddy. But hey, we want to thank all of you that called in. I do appreciate all the positive commentaries I keep getting back. It's quite humbling, actually, but the comments are appreciated. But hey, let's wrap this up. We'll play some promos for you, and check out a couple of sites that send some stuff in. If you want to send in your promo, please try to keep the promo to about a minute. geeknewspromo@gmail.com. geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Here's the first one. Of course, I'll have a few closing words at the end.
Everybody, how you doing? Good morning. It's a great day.
I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
This is not radio. It's podcasting.
Hello, everybody. This is Dan the Geek from the new Geekcaster podcast. I want all you guys to check out my podcast at geekcaster.tripod.com. Or just search for us in iTunes under Geekcaster. Each week we talk about the hottest tech news and play a bunch of awesome PodSafe music. Please check us out at the Geekcaster Podcast, either at geekcaster.tripod.com, or subscribe to us in iTunes under Geekcaster. Even if you're just somewhat interested in technology, we want you.
Hey, Todd. This is Dr. Larry Payne from Another Night Shift, the Emergency Medicine Podcast. Yes, my name really is Dr. Payne, except it's spelled with a Y, not with an I. I went to medical school, though, with Dr. Tom Hurt and Dr. Joe Dye. But that doesn't mean I'm any less of a Payne myself. My website is www.anothernightshift.com, and you can subscribe to it from there or through iTunes. Before I go any further, I just want to give you personal credit for getting me where I am today in podcasting, Todd.
Oh.
I'd never even heard of a podcast until I was browsing the Sci-Fi Channel website, but after I heard the Battlestar Galactica podcast, I was pretty much hooked, and I knew that this was the perfect medium for getting to the public and reaching emergency physicians about issues in medicine. And of course, it looked like fun. Well, it looked like there could be gadgets involved. And being what my wife calls a techno slut, that kind of caught my attention. So I went to the local bookstore, and your book must have come out the day before I got there. I read it from cover to cover, and I used it as a how-to manual. And for a novice without tremendous skills in website design, audio production, or broadcast journalism, it was perfect. But darn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a sound engineer. The Emergency Medicine Podcast isn't just for emergency physicians. I like to talk about important issues in medicine today. I would bet that with your kids, you've probably visited an emergency department at least a few times over the last couple years.
Oh, yeah.
You've probably had a lot of questions, and you have a different perspective on the world that I see every day. A lot of my content is directed to the common man just trying to get by in the jungle of modern medicine. So thanks for your inspiration and support. I look forward to meeting you personally at the Podcast Expo in November. Once again, I'm Dr. Larry Payne. Go to www.anothernightshift.com and beam up Another Night Shift, the Emergency Medicine Podcast.
Well, thank you for the kind words there, Dr. Payne, and I hope I don't ever have to meet Dr. Hurt, okay? That is just too hilarious. But, hey, I'm glad you got a lot out of the book. I wasn't even expecting that to be in the promo, and but I do appreciate it. You guys can all get over to amazon.com/podcasting. Follow his advice. Great book. Okay, enough of a plug, enough advertising. All right, everyone, we will see you. We will see you on Friday. Aloha. Take care. Bye-bye.